This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, what's happening? How we doing today? Tinky and Tierney Show, CBS Sports Radio here. Coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Come on in. Teague's got the day off. I'm going solo. Got a big day. NBA draft tonight. Got a little something on Aaron Rodgers. Got a little something on Dak. Got a lot of something on the death of high school sports, the way we used to know it. That is a story you're not going to want to miss. I can't wait to get to that. But, you know, here we are a couple of days into camp. It's all good. It's all fun. And we will obviously be deep into the NFL pool from this point forward. Tiki and Tierney's 2-a-day starting up pretty soon. You know, we'll follow up with everything we've done for the past 8-9 years here on the show. But I want to start with, not quite the NBA draft, but I want to use that to really illuminate some points about Ben Simmons. All right, Ben Simmons is going to get dealt. Now, I told you about, That was it. Like, you watch him play, and when you spin by the slow-footed Danilo Gallinari, who I like, but, you know, let's face it, he's slow-footed, and you get to the rim, and you find little tiny Trae Young waiting for you. He's in your path, and you pass. The symbolism, you cannot ignore. That was, I believe, literally the point where the Sixers knew, even though they didn't communicate that right away, obviously took them a while to come around to it. And now, as we know, based on what we've seen and heard from and read from Simmons' agents, the Sixers are obviously amenable to a trade. But they knew at that moment, man, we got a monster issue on our hands. And quite frankly, they knew that long before that, the free throw follies, the reluctance, the aversion. Reluctance is being kind. The straight-up aversion to just shooting threes, right? A lot of issues. Chemistry issues with Joel Embiid. So they knew, all right? And I want to use the draft and some of the thoughts that you know, and we've talked about a lot of these players, whether it's Cade Cunningham. We had his college coach on yesterday, who was great. Coach Boynton was phenomenal. Cunningham's going first overall. I don't think the Pistons will deal him. I don't think that they should. He's going first. Whether it's Jalen Green, whether it's Evan Mobley, whether it's Jalen Suggs, whether it's Scotty Barnes, you name the prospect, right? Invariably, and I'll turn this back to Ben Simmons, invariably, everything that you seek in terms of information, you know, if you're a bit of a mock draft head, you want to find out who should my team draft, you love the sport, projectability, stuff like that. What do you think about, what do you think scouts and the war room really try to eliminate in terms of doubt? Well, one would be, can so-and-so develop a reliable three-point shot? That's like, I'll give you a good example. Book Knight from UConn, who I really, really, really like. He's going top 10. I really like him. Only shot 32% from downtown. And if you are a team that believes with, you know, maybe a little minor mechanical tweak and some better shot selection, better teammates, etc., that 32% in college can eventually within 2 or 3 years go to a highly functional league average, 37.5 or maybe beyond that, 38, 39, or maybe more, then to me, Book Knight goes top 10. That's what you have to wrestle with, right? So projecting the three-point shot. So-and-so, are they an alpha type? Are they the kind of player that you roll out the ball, and I don't mean from day one as a 19-year-old pup, but once they learn the league and get a sense of the rigors and the travel and learn how to be a pro, blah, 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 that's someone, whether it's a guard or a big, and more guard-oriented, but in terms of what you want characteristic-wise, do you think that that player, you know, can take the keys to the franchise and eventually get the car where you want it to go? What's his injury history? These are all things that we go through on draft night. The greatest question, I could sit here all night, I'm not going to waste your time. I could sit here for the next 3 hours and tell you why I think Cade Cunningham is going to be like Grant Hill. I can make other comparisons, and I can reach for things, and I can extrapolate this and pull that together and conjure up this thought and give you this incredible package on the radio why somebody's going to be a star or a bust. But 50% I'm right, okay? So I lay all this out because if you think about the questions about these draft prospects and what you're trying to do on draft night, right, you actually have answers from Ben Simmons. That's where I'm going with this. He has actually already provided you with answers. You want to laugh? Listen to this offer. Very, very big of you, Daryl Morey. Thank you. Thank you for gracing us with your presence. Daryl Morey reached out to the Spurs. Here's what he wants for Ben Simmons, reportedly. 4 first-round picks. 4? Was he Deshaun Watson without the legal issues? 3 pick swaps. I mean, you want to talk about having some guts. And a young ascending player, a rotational player. 4 first-round picks, 3 swaps. Spurs aren't going to be that good. So if the Spurs are the 9th-place team next year or whatever, you know, in the West, 9th in the West, and they're, you know, and they're picking, you know, in a spot where maybe not quite the lottery, but just outside the lottery, the Sixers, who should be terrific if they make the right moves because you already have Joel Embiid and other players, say if the Sixers are picking 27th or 25th, they could say, we're going to swap. So we'll take your 12th overall pick and you can pick at the back of the what click. Get out of here. Now, what Daryl Morey's doing is smart. He is setting, you know, a conversation. He's establishing parameters that, let's be honest, you and I will laugh at, as will the other teams, but now the conversation gets going. So, what does all this mean? All this means that the young men who will be called on the podium tonight in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center, we think we know who they are, but we're not really fully sure yet. Just not. Not with grown men. Not when you're getting paid big boy money with big boy responsibility and you're theoretically playing 82 games a season, you know, 30 games in college. There's just too much to bridge together to always be right. What we know about Ben Simmons is he's got 2 problems. Number one, he can't shoot. Like, he's just not good at it. And number two, he doesn't want to try to shoot. So, let me give you a real-life example. I'm going to open up a restaurant. Tiki and I are going to open up a restaurant. The Tiki and Tierney Lounge, right? That would be a circus. Because me and Tiki could pour back the scotch. But anyway, I guess for the sake of business, we'll have to be careful. You know, I mean, maybe just go once or twice a week. But let's say we have a, instead of a lounge, Tiki and I and our agent, we have the same agent. Let's say we decided to pursue a French restaurant, which I would never do, a French restaurant in Manhattan on the Upper East Side, right? And to help get that off the ground, I want to either bring in a highly acclaimed chef from Paris or maybe somebody who's got West Coast roots, maybe in San Francisco at a world-renowned restaurant, certainly domestic-renowned restaurant, and I want to bring them to our restaurant to be our head chef, all right? We'll pay him $600,000 a year, right? Maybe more. But the only problem is he can't cook. Like, that's what you're getting with Ben Simmons. He can't shoot. It is amazing to, you know, I have seen all I need to see with Ben Simmons. Don't want him. Don't want him anywhere near my Knicks. And the only way I would want him is if, I don't even know if I'd want him in this situation, as I really think about it. I was going to say, as if I'm a real young team, and I could now hand him the keys as a facilitator and try to accelerate some sort of growth with maybe another young player that's good but needs a running mate. Like think of like a Zion type, somebody like that, you know. But I don't even think that works because he's already gotten paid $33 million this year coming up, $35 the year after that, $38 the year after that, and $40 million 4 years down the road. So let's just step back and look at this pragmatically for a moment. And don't get me wrong. I know that there's a lot of assets and a lot of attributes to Ben's game. He's a great, great defender. Incredibly versatile. Great defender. It's kind of where it ends. Yeah, I know he sets guys up as well. But if you are afraid, and I don't use that word loosely or cavalierly pertaining to pro athletes, because just at their core, inherently, to get there, they're anything but afraid. They have these incredible, tantalizing gifts from God that were not bestowed upon me. Certainly were not bestowed upon Santer. Feel better, Mike. Or Stu Getz. My partner got him. We didn't get nobody else on the show got him. We got nothing, right? So they have these great gifts. They're incredible physical specimens. But it's still all relative. Like, to you and I, they're superhuman. But amongst the peers, there's a pecking order, much like my business. Yeah, when I was 19 and 20 and 21 and studying journalism and I had these grand visions of this career, I mean, at my basic core, I would have been enthralled just to probably, as if I'm being totally sincere with my audience, as I always am, I probably would have been thrilled making $40,000 a year just talking in a small town. That's how much I wanted to be on the radio and on TV. And then, of course, you assess your worth and you get a few breaks and you deliver, you perform, and things change. So it's all relative. What I thought then would make me happy as a professional does not make me happy now because of my place in the business. Not to overstate it, but I've been doing it for a while and I think I'm decent, you know? And yeah, Ben Simmons is decent, but what you need him to be very good at to win, he's horrendous. It's horrendous. So he can't play in the final few minutes of the game because he's a circus from the free throw line. And now we've seen this permeate into a different part of the game where I believe too often there's no coming back from. And that's the head. That's the mental either prowess or deficiency that either propels or destroys you. Now, again, let's use common sense. For the first 2 years, it was like, be nice to see. First year, it's like, nice to see Ben. I know he didn't play his first year, but when he first started playing, be nice to see Ben just put a few threes up, even if he misses all of them, just for spacing purposes. Remember that discussion? Just to spread the floor, just to be a threat, just to open things up for Embiid, just to let the opposition know, he's willing to let it fly. All right? And then we had to quickly go from there to, man, this guy's just not showing any progress. And stop showing me the 10-second clips on Twitter from the summer when you hit a three. And he probably edited 30,000 times. And, and you kind of latch on, this is the year. He's been in the laboratory. And then you get through another, Ben Simmons still doesn't shoot. That was one tier and one level. That was before the big contract. Now the whole world knows that he is afraid to do the most basic function in the game. And that is to shoot. And now shoot layups. Hop it to gotta get rid of it. Don't want to get fouled. I don't want to be isolated 15 feet away on the free throw line in a playoff game with the whole world watching me because I don't know which hand to shoot with. And I'm not trying to be a wise ass, but that's true. The one thing I won't latch on to, and I know that this has been out there, but I want to be fair to Ben because I don't know this. I know what I see as a player. I know what I hear, but I'm going to really lean on more what I see. What I hear, and probably what you've heard, although I've heard it more than you, to be honest, is that he's not putting in any time. He's not putting any time to rectify something that has gone alarmingly wrong. Alarmingly wrong. I'll bore you with this, but I'll just show you how strong the human mind is, okay? I don't know how the hell it happened. Stu Getz, you want to laugh? I always joke around with my golf game, right? I don't know why it happened. Maybe because of my back. I don't know. At some point, if you're watching, as a lefty, I went, instead of just coming down and hitting the ball, I could not pull the trigger. I would get up here, not chipping and putting. I was really good still. I'd get up here, and it would, I hit shots that were sideways. I hit a few shots on tee boxes, ask my boys, that went backwards. Because I was coming at such a weird, steep, wrong angle, because my mind was a mess. And I got to the point, this is ridiculous, that I would actually scan my tee sheet to see, all right, let me get a tee time so nobody's behind me. I swear to God. Now, it's one thing if my buddies see it, because they're my best friends and they know what I've been through. I didn't really want other people to see it. I didn't go to a few outings, fun outings, industry outings, because I could not swing. And Ben Simmons cannot shoot. And that's a big problem. Now, if this was his rookie deal and there was still some theoretical upside, I'd say, all right, I'll give you multiple first-round picks. And by the way, somebody's going to trade for him. I don't want to bury the lead. Somebody's going to say, all right, we'll give you this for that, and we'll fix it. Because that's arrogance. And there's arrogance in broadcasting. Oh, I could do this better. And there's arrogance in leading a team, you know, constructing a team. We'll figure it out. We're smarter. We've got better coaches. We've got better mental engagement. We'll tap into it. Not if he's not working, you won't. No, you won't. Shaq ever fix his free throws? Did Wilt? No. You know, Rick Ankiel, friend of the show. Did Rick ever get back on the pitcher's mound? No. Became an outfielder. Like this thought, and not a bad one either. I got you, Rick. Not a bad, good out. Remember we had him on about a month ago. I said he was a pretty good outfielder. He said, no, I was an awesome outfielder. And he could pick it in the outfield. He could hit some bombs too. Never pitched again. So this notion that Ben Simmons is quickly correctable is laughable to me. So you have to trade him. You have to trade him. There are no way you run it back with Ben Simmons. None. If I'm running the Sixers. Zero. And if I am a team that is remotely interested in trading for him, I am doing so with incredible trepidation and eyes wide open. And I know it's easy for the radio guy to sit here and bang on a guy who's got, you know, $100 million in the bank and has more athletic skill in his pinky than I've got in my whole body. I'm not trying to do that. Really, I'm not trying to do that, eviscerate somebody. I mean, this is falling apart in the public, like in full view of the public. Like, I could only, again, that ridiculous, you know, golf situation that, thank God, I've somehow plowed through, somehow. But I can only liken it to, like, Stu Getz, imagine getting on the air every day and then suddenly not being able to construct a sentence when I most urgently needed to construct a sentence. Like, you would do things, this is the way the mind works, guys. You would do things 2-3 steps before having to make that statement that would almost allow me to not have to make that statement, if you're following me, and I know you are. But by doing so, yes, you might subvert the statement and circumvent the statement, but ultimately you're weakening the segment because you're not going where you need to go. And he is ultimately weakening his game because he is afraid to go where he needs to go. It's a big problem. And the way, I know we'll get a break here, but the way the season ended, it's just starting. Again, like we all knew he had this aversion to shooting, but we all lauded, hey, 6'11", could pass, you know, great defender. But the way the season ended, that's the way the spotlight will begin to start the season. And if he ain't putting work in, and this is not something you fix in 2 months, if you're even doing the work. So, eyes wide open. He might get dealt tonight. He will absolutely get dealt at some point. He will not play another second for the Sixers. I told you that 2 months ago. I would not want him. I would not touch him. Even at 75 cents on the dollar. I think he's broken. And that's a scary thing. It's untenable when you're a pro athlete. A broken pro athlete? Sad. All right. Coming up, I want to get to this. Aaron Rodgers. Wow. What a pull the curtain, huh? He just told us everything about the Packers. Now, I want to set up this conversation about quarterbacks. Russell Wilson went through this. pursuing power. It's good for them. Is it good for you, the consumer? Is it good for the league? Get to that coming up next. Hickey and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Attaboy, Stugetz. A little funky monkey. Hey, this weekend coming up on CBS, plenty of sports for everybody starting at Saturday. On Saturday, 3 Eastern, New Pacific, a little summer hoop action. The Big Three rolls back in. Then on Sunday at 2 Eastern, 11 a.m., some of the fittest athletes compete against one another. It's the CrossFit Games, followed at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific by the Major League Rugby Championship, all coming up this weekend on CBS. What's good? Appreciate you hanging with me here. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Teak is out. He's back tomorrow. All right, next hour, a little Dak Prescott. We'll do some NBA draft. Ryan McDonough will join me, former GM. I want to play two things. You know what, Stugetz? Just roll these in back-to-back, all right? I'm going to set it up now. And the first cut you're going to hear from is Russell Wilson, all right? This is February 9th of earlier this year, obviously, on the Dan Patrick Show. And then the cut, right, a little lengthy, but it's going to set up the segment here. Then the one after that will be Aaron Rodgers from yesterday. The common theme is the pursuit of power. Go ahead.
For me personally, I think that I want to be able to be involved because at the end of the day, it's your legacy. It's your team's legacy. It's the guys you get to go into the huddle with. And at the end of the day, those guys, you got to trust. One of the reasons why Tom went to Tampa was because he felt like he could trust those guys and Bruce was going to give him an opportunity. I think for me, anytime you bring free agents in, other players, you want the best players, guys who love the game. And so you kind of build that over time and get to see who can really play. You know, as a player, you really know. So I think that relationship's really key. And, especially being a veteran player, you know, that dialogue is really important.
Are you involved in personnel decisions?
Not as much. I don't.
Do you want to be involved, Russ?
Yeah, I think it helps. I think it helps to be involved more. But I think that dialogue should happen more often.
Wanting to be a part of conversations involving free agents, which has never happened in my career. I've trained with a number of NFL guys most of my career in the off seasons. My agency, Athletes First, has had a number of high draft picks over the years. I've tried to pass along information. Hasn't really been used, shall we say. I think we can all understand, Green Bay isn't, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was one I wanted to change moving forward. And I felt like based on my years, the way I can still play, that should be a natural part of the conversation.
All right, listen, I really like Aaron Rodgers, and he's incredibly gifted, and I've had his back during this situation for the most part. But that's a little arrogant right there. Dude, you've won one Super Bowl. Stop talking like you're Tom Brady. Come to Green Bay, you win a Super Bowl with me. You've won. What have you lost? Four NFC championship games? Come on. That's a bit much. I don't need to belabor that, but that last part was a little bit of a turnoff there. I appreciate the candor. I do. But that was dripping with a little bit too much arrogance for my taste. Now, again, if you just tuned in, you're like, what was all that stuff? The first one was Russell Wilson, February, Dan Patrick Show. And how about Dan's pipes? Do you want, like, just the way he pops in. Just, that's why he's Dan Patrick. So that was Russell Wilson. And then, of course, Aaron Rodgers yesterday. Now, I know some of you do, even if it's indirectly or unknowingly. I don't begrudge athletes for making, I don't care what they make. If you're making $40, $50 million a year, there's a market for it somehow. You know, somehow, some way. Now, where I really start to get bothered by this is if my team is, you know, handcuffed with a salary cap, like the Knicks had big issues with this for a long time. They just kept doling out these moronic contracts to guys who were, you know, D-plus, C-minus players, and it buries you for a decade. And that pissed me off, full disclosure. But, you know, if a team gives you the max, even if you're not worth it, God bless you. Go make that money and take care of multiple generations. Invest it wisely. It's all good. What I do have a bit of an issue with, and I know you're definitely with me on this, it's becoming a turnoff. The blurring of lines. Like, yeah, I know that money does, on most levels, equate to power, but no matter how much money these quarterbacks or star guards in the NBA or starting pitcher, you know, aces make in baseball, they have less money than ownership, no matter what they make, you know? Tatis, think about that contract he signed. Much less than ownership. Not even close, right? And it's just, it's a turnoff when the conversations become less about the game, less about the mission. Think about, why do we love sports? What are, at the end of the day, what is all this stuff? It's a distraction from the real world. Really what it is, you know? Not that you can't get a scholarship. Not that you can't make money as a pro if you're the 1%, a little less. Yeah, there's avenues to monetize it, sure. But for, you know, 99% of the population, it's entertainment. You could gamble on it. You just obviously be a diehard fan, pass down from your parents, pass down from your big brother. You pass it on to your children. It's a way of life, really, is what it is. And it's beautiful. It's a great thing. But at the end of the day, you know, it's nothing more than really passing time. Right? So when I look back at my fandom roots, and I don't think they're dissimilar from yours, you started watching games because you love playing. You right? No, no. Before I really understood, and football's a little tricky to actually learn. Like, baseball's easy, not to play, but it's easy to, all right, see the ball, hit the ball, run to first base. When you're a kid, I mean, when you're 4 years old, 5 years old. I remember when I was 4 or 5 years old, I didn't understand. I just saw flags flying and 22 people on the field kicking the crap out of each other. I don't know what was going on. You know, all these refs and linesmen and lines judges. But then once you start to play, whether it's Nerf in the backyard, whether it's on a team, now you're like, oh, okay, now I want to take, you know, what I love doing, and now I want to sit down, I want to root on my favorite team, and it's just one big cycle. Then you start asking for the jerseys from Santa or for Hanukkah. Like, that just, it becomes your life, right? Big part of it. But that's really all it is. Again, it's a diversion from stuff that's heavy, stuff that is truly important. And I just feel like sport has got, and I'm not talking about, you know, take bios from the, I'm not talking about stuff like that or social justice. Those are meaningful conversations that we have to have. I'm talking about when somebody making $40 million a year gets in front of a microphone, and again, I like Aaron Rodgers, but starts whining and crying because he doesn't have the hammer in terms of what they do. Dude, you're a player. You don't own the team. Not even close. You're going to be gone, just like Brett Favre was gone. Just like Bart Starr was gone. You know? Eventually, not the Garoppolo's in this category. Next year, all probability, Garoppolo will be gone. Just like Steve Young was gone. Just like Joe Montana was gone. That's the way it goes. You're gone. Someday from this chair, I'll be gone. Tiki will be gone. We'll be gone. You know? And I know that it's interesting content. So I know why we talk about it. But if you really dumb it down, if you really boil it down to its core, it's frustrating, isn't it? This isn't what you became a sports fan for, is it? To hear Russell Wilson go on the Dan Patrick show and cry about power? And complain about his offensive line. I mean, come on. Now, Stu Getz, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I just think a guy like Aaron Rodgers is so great, right? So you want him to be comfortable. You want him to have everything at his disposal.
For sure.
But at the same time, he also has to focus on just playing the game and putting up those numbers, and he has a job to do. Everyone in that organization has a job to do, including him, including the GM, including the coach. So I think, I guess he should have a little say, but to be, you know, where he has total say,
no.
I don't get that.
And by the way, yeah, let me differentiate. I have no problem if Aaron Rodgers says, hey, you know what, I was watching Fresno State versus whomever, and I saw this slot receiver. I don't know what round. Yeah, I like him. Kid ran some tight routes, got some good hands. Maybe we snag him in the fifth round if you guys like him. Like, yeah, throw names out. You can certainly collaborate on certain prospects. But, like, to take that stand that publicly, that demonstrably, is a turnoff. And there's got to be a recalibration at some point. There's got to. I mean, does this just keep getting worse? And I need to reiterate, I don't begrudge the money at all. I'm chasing every penny I could get. You better believe it. So are you. And so are they. Respect it. Respect the chase, right? Respect the hustle. But is $40 million going to eventually become $60, $70, $80 million a year for quarterbacks? It seems untenable. Much like, are colleges going to continue to soar 50, 90, 100, 100? I mean, in 10 years, yeah, 12 years when my son's going to college, and my daughter eventually a year after that, is it going to be $127,000 a year for room and board? I don't know. Everything needs to reset, I think, from a financial point of view. I think it has to. Because I think if that happens, at least pertaining to my point about these athletes thinking that they own the room, if the money drops, I think the expectations to be judge and jury will dissipate as well. It's my only complaint. That's my chief complaint about pro sports right now. Do your job, do it well, stay in your lane. And I don't think many of you disagree. If you do, by all means, get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. All right, who we got? Ack, what's up, buddy? How you doing today, Rich?
I'm swell, except our local baseball teams here in New York. You're a Yankee fan, I'm a Met fan. Not a good day for us.
Yeah, I don't care about the Mets. What the hell happened to my boy Gerrit Cole today? After that great win last night, DJ LeMahieu snagged that pop-up with two on in the extra innings. He lost it in that white ceiling at the Trop. I was sweating as I see him backpedaling. He finally gets it. We win two in a row. Going for the broom today. Cole on the hill gives up a four spot in the first inning?
Yeah.
Come on.
Rough.
Damn. Plus, we got Gallo, so I guess you take two out of three and move on. But Axe update, coming up after that, we'll get with Sean King. Sean, former NFL quarterback, okay, and also former assistant over at South Florida coach. He knows the quarterback game well. We'll bounce around all the camps, all the pertinent camp storylines at the quarterback spot.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Appreciate you spending your day here. Teak is out. He's back tomorrow, so we'll be together for a Friday show. Before you know it, almost week one. I mean, it's not that far away. When the pads are on and the helmets are strapped on and buckled, you know football is right around the corner, which means there's some high-profile quarterback, maybe not battles, but certainly quarterback situations and things to react to. So let's talk about the most important position in sport with a man who played that position, Sean King, former NFL quarterback, also former assistant over at South Florida. Sean, been a while. How you been, dude? What's happening?
Oh, man, I am blessed and highly favored, Brandon. I'm so glad I'm back on.
Yeah.
I can smell the grass. Football is around the corner.
My man, I love the energy. I love the enthusiasm. Let's talk shop. All right. So yesterday I went on this rant, and I believe it was fully justified, that the Jets hadn't signed Zach Wilson yet. They got that done, so they heard the rant and they reacted to it and they signed him. My issue, I know that they upgraded the receiver, things they didn't do for Darnold, same with the offensive line. But, Sean, can you explain to me how it's not borderline negligent to have a quarterback room without a veteran that's actually played some football in that quarterback room to at least show Zach Wilson the ropes? How can the Jets make that mistake?
Well, I don't know if it's a mistake necessarily. I think it's knowing the quarterback you're bringing in.
Really?
You know, and then again, if I'm not mistaken, that's what Coach Knapp was, right?
Yes.
So definitely yes. Send our condolences to his family. I mean, that must be unbelievable for something like that to happen to a rookie.
Heartbreaking. Awful.
You know, sometimes, you know, an organization just wants a rookie to come in and be completely free to be himself, not have to worry about a Ryan Fitzpatrick or an Andy Dalton if he doesn't play well. And maybe that's just the path that they thought was best for them in their current situation. We'll see if they're right or wrong, you know, very shortly.
Yeah, and by the way, I wasn't even meaning like to make it a competition where you present it as if, hey, listen, young man, if you don't play well, he's going to take your job. No, I just mean somebody that's actually held the clipboard for a game or maybe is even taking a snap. I didn't love that, but the fact that they got him at least signed and they did upgrade the talent certainly put Zach in a better spot than Sam Darnold. Mention Fitzpatrick. You know, Teek and I talk about the kid Heinicke, who looked pretty damn good in that playoff game. He's got a little wiggle, seems to have a little charisma. I know his teammates like him. Fitz is going to win the job, but you've seen tape of Heinicke. I'm not saying he's going to blossom into some star, but he's pretty interesting, and I feel like people are just kind of pushing him aside. What do you know about the kid?
I think he's talented. He's got a lot of moxie to him. You know, the one thing we kind of know about Fitzpatrick, though, is he figures out how to become the starting quarterback everywhere he goes.
He does, yeah,
true. Hadn't really mastered how to keep the position, but he's mastered how to win the competition and get his name called at some point during the season.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, if I'm a betting guy, I would go on Fitzpatrick. You know, but overall, Brandon, this might be the most intriguing season in recent history when it comes to this position.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a guy like Dak Prescott coming off an injury, now having a big contract. He kind of was starting to make some headway towards being an upper echelon quarterback. I mean, you're talking about a group of, like, veteran guys that are trying to prove that they still have it. Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Jameis mm-hmm. Winston. Mm-hmm. You've got all the rookies with the high expectations. And I haven't even mentioned Aaron Rodgers and his scorched earth tour he's about to go on. And can Brady repeat? I mean, is Mahomes going to reestablish himself as the guy? I mean, it's a fascinating season at this position.
Sean, I'm totally with you. We're talking to Sean King, former NFL quarterback, 6 years in the NFL, Super Bowl champ as well, former college coach over at South Florida. He's with me here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Not to mention Baker Mayfield, year two, Josh Allen getting better, year two with Stefanski. You know, Josh Allen getting better. What's Tua? Let's get to Miami for a second. Listen, there's been a lot of noise coming out of South Florida. You know, maybe they're going to make a move for Deshaun Watson. Maybe they'll draft this guy. Maybe they'll do that. I don't know how much of it is a smokescreen, but when you hear that much emitting from a team building, from a team's building, it just gives me the sense, Sean, that they're not really enamored with what they have. I don't think Tua looked very good. I thought he looked very risk-averse, you know, kind of a check-down Charlie. And I'm not going to give up on him yet, but I'm not as high on Tua as an NFL quarterback as Tiki is. Where do you stand on Tua right now for the Dolphins? They got everything else. They should be ready to win. Can he lead them at that position?
And I think that's what's kind of unfair for Tua and that evaluation of him. He really was the only young guy that was playing with those kind of expectations. Whereas everybody else really was just, the organization's like, hey, man, go out and play, you know, just make a couple plays, like give us some hope for the future, whereas Miami was actually in the playoff hunt last year. This year, they're expecting, as an organization, to make the playoffs. As a quarterback, a young quarterback, you approach the game so much differently with those kind of expectations and pressure than if you know you guys have no chance to make the playoffs. You're just trying to get experience and reps, and let's go out and get better as the season goes along. So mm-hmm. I think Tua's handled it very well. You know, to kind of hammer home the point, outside of about three teams, if I could trade for Deshaun Watson, I'd make that trade tomorrow.
Yeah, so would I. So would I.
You know, I think, he's an elite player. I think the Texans completely dropped the ball unless there was some kind of internal email where they weren't allowed to shop Deshaun Watson, but why would you not trade him before the draft? You
I can't totally
tell
agree.
Me that San Francisco wouldn't have given them the third pick for Deshaun Watson.
I totally agree. I totally agree. I've been saying this for 6 months, man.
To put him on the market now, to me, makes no sense.
I'm with you. No, we're thinking the same thing, man. Daniel Jones, are you a buyer or are you a seller? Year three, it's always a pivotal year. What do you think about Daniel Jones and the G-Men?
I'm a diehard Duke men's basketball fan. I've been that way since 1988, 11 years old.
Okay. So you basically what you're saying is you were a front runner when you were a kid. I got you. I got you.
Okay, facts. I like champions. Some people don't.
I got you.
So I want to like Daniel Jones. There's just something inside of me that won't let me buy a lot of stock in a guy that tackled himself on, I think it was Monday or Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
So I can't ever get that image out of my mind. It's sort of like Dan Orlovsky running out the back of the end zone. Like, it's something to happen.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're cementing. But I do think he's talented. I do think the Giants have done a really good job of upgrading that roster from a talent standpoint. I think the key to Daniel Jones, Brandon, is Saquon Barkley going to be Saquon Barkley coming off the injury?
I don't know.
If he is, I think the Giants have a good shot to be pretty good to get games to the fourth quarter.
Yep.
If he's not, if he's kind of a year away, then and it all has to go on Daniel Jones, I think he might struggle.
I like the Giants, and I have more faith in Jones than you. I'm not saying they're going to win 11, 12 games, but I think they're going to be a player this year. All right, let me get you over to the Chicago Bears because we're talking about quarterbacks, and that's a franchise, well, like a few others, like the Jets, that very rarely have the right quarterback outside of a few exceptions. I'm starting Justin Fields day one. Unless he's swimming in the playbook, which he won't, unless he's a complete mess, which he won't be, I believe, Sean, that there's enough things you can trick him up or, you know, roll him out, get the ball out of his hands fast, use his wheels. I know Dalton's functional. I'm not here to diss Andy Dalton, but you're going nowhere with Andy Dalton. I would want, if I'm a Bears fan, I would want Fields to play week one. Where do you sit on that?
I'm with you 100%. And for me, it's job security. I mean, if I'm the head coach, I mean, I've already been in the owner's office. This kid is talented. He's going to be good in year one, but he's going to be a Pro Bowl elite level player in year two. I'm already pushing that narrative. And I'm telling Justin, all we have to do is get better as the year goes on. And I want to get to year two with this quarterback. So I definitely would start him week one. I think we did a disservice to Justin Fields from the time he played his last college game to draft night. For some reason, a kid that had produced 2 years on that platform, on that stage at Ohio State, had some of the excellent outings that he had.
Mm-hmm.
We some kind of way forgot or diminished, you know, that production. And I think people are going to regret it. I think he's a kid that's got a big-time arm. He's a plus athlete, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. And I think he's going to show people that, you know, there were some mistakes made with teams that took quarterbacks in front of him.
Listen, Sean, I am talking to Sean King, Super Bowl champ, 6 years in the NFL. He's with me here on Tiki and Tierney. I only have about a minute and a half or so. I'm a Justin Fields believer. I'm a fan. I would push back and challenge you on this. I think what we reacted to with Justin Fields was him playing poorly against good teams. Remember the Indiana game, the Northwestern game? Like, he put some things on tape that made you pause a little bit. Now, he also put things on tape that made you say, wow, no doubt. But there were a couple of throws that made me think twice about him.
Now, he played about as bad a game as I've ever seen from a first-round draft pick against Northwestern.
That's what I'm saying.
He was awful. But the Indiana game, I just think he got overshadowed by how great Michael Penix played. Because Fields went back and forth. I mean, they made play after play. He had a little lull there, but I mean, Michael Penix played an outstanding game that afternoon, and I think it kind of overshadowed Justin a little bit. But again, two games out of 2 years.
I got you.
You know, I'd say show me a guy who played better than he did against Clemson.
Fair.
You know, so he bounced back from the bad performance against Northwestern and had probably one of his best, if not best, outing as a collegian. So it's always a lot of different ways to look at stuff. I know one thing, Brandon. They're going to blow that whistle here in a couple weeks, and we don't have to talk about it anymore. We're going to be able to see what happens.
I can't wait. Give me 10 seconds. Jameis Winston. Does he have some fun this year? Does he make some plays? Winston, Saints.
MVP caliber season.
What? You're going to end the conversation with that?
MVP caliber season. Sean Payton is probably the most foremost guru genius at getting pieces to fit and do things that they're good at. Don't forget, Jameis threw for 5,000 already.
Oh, I know.
He's indoors now in an explosive offense with a guy who's going to try and run it up every week.
Wow. MVP. Where the hell have
MVP
you been?
Conversation.
You used to come on the show all the time. We got to get you back on, sir. I miss talking to you, dude. Nice to have you on the show, Sean. We got to bounce,
too,
but thank
man.
You.
All right.
Great. I mean, that was phenomenal. This guy's dropping bombs like it's going out of style. Jameis Winston, MVP? I mean, wow. I have heard nobody say that. That was good. This guy could be in the MVP race legitimately. Dak Prescott. I want to get into what went down yesterday at practice and why I think it's actually good next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.